So, final session today. We're going to hear from Rick for a while, and then we're going to have a little break, and then we're going to come back. Everyone's coming back. We're going to have communion together, and we're going to have some a little bit of sharing, some testimony, and some ministry, and all sorts. So, Rick, once again, thank you for sharing. Thank you for being with us. Over to you.
Thanks. Well, as we were just asking for words, my word was... It was kind of a question from the Lord, and he said, isn't it easier when the water rises to move the ark? Can you imagine trying to move an ark, the ark of the covenant, not the ark of the covenant, the ark, with all the animals in it, without water? What would that look like? It'd be dreadful, wouldn't it? You know, God created this person called Archimedes to describe to us what was necessary, displacement. And you know, when the ark rose, it rose on water, and its weight was carried, and the glory of what God was doing was carried by something he released. And God wants to release in you an increase. And you start thinking about, you know, water coming out of the belly. Imagine the worshippers together pressing in to the Lord, pressing in for his presence, and the water levels rise. The church will move a lot easier. It really will. You know, you'll move into the purposes of God a lot easier when the water level rises. Try dragging an ark when the tide's out. Not fun. I've done it with a 45-foot lifeboat, dragging it up a beach. And it digs in to the sand and it says, I'm going nowhere. And you have to fight it. You're coming this way. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. And eventually you drag this lifeboat up onto a carriage, big carriage, and off you go. But it's an awful lot of effort to do that compared to when it's in the water and it's being carried, the weight of that 45-foot lifeboat is being carried by the water, and then just a little bit of on it and it starts to move all by itself. The breath and the wind and the waves start to move that boat easily. And God wants you to be a people where the levels are rising so that it's easy to move the ark. And you do know, don't you, that the animals are coming. All different kinds of animals are coming into the ark. All different kinds of people are coming into the ark. Animal noises you don't know. Gruntings and groanings, squeakings, barkings, hoofings. Anyone looking, relishing this yet? The kingdom of heaven is all about God opening the door to the ark and saying, to all who are thirsty, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And it will be the least, the last, and the lost who come. The least of these, the last of these, and the lost will come into the ark. Just like us. We were those people, weren't we? Did God choose respectable people? He chose the least, the last, and the lost. And maybe you're just around church because you didn't realize that, you know, Costa was down the road. So you ended up here because you heard there was coffee. But for many of us, we're here by purpose and by design and by the choice of God. You didn't choose him, he chose you. And it took somebody somewhere to be faithful to come and find you. However that happened for you. So just for a moment, tell me how you became a Christian. One or two of you. How did you?
Through a child evangelist.
Someone came. Where did that happen? In a church or in a school? Awesome. And was that in a church or in a church building? Okay. Yes, ma'am. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Melvin Banks. Anyone heard of Melvin Banks? Okay. So, the gospel gets carried when the water level increases. And the church gets carried when the Spirit of God moves. And as I said to you the other day, what will happen is God will put his heart in your heart. And he'll put his desire and his eyes in your eyes so that you see people the way he sees people. And you will be compelled by love. It won't be effort. It will be love that moves us into that place. But the animals are coming. Of all different kinds, of all different persuasions. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that as a church? For feathers to be ruffled? For your bunk that has always been your little place in the ark to be displaced because there's a new person who needs that. There's a new person who needs the help. There's a new person who needs teaching, training and equipping. Are we okay with that? That God would do that amongst us? Someone say yes, please. Encourage the preacher. Okay. I'm in church. It's okay. So what we're going to look at today, we looked at Ruth yesterday, and Ruth was the all-in girl, wasn't she? I'm in. I am in now. Your people, my people, your God, my God. And she went and she began at the edges of the field. And eventually, through a process of her faithfulness, she got not only the gleanings, but she got the harvest, and then she got the field. Which is just God, isn't it? That's how he works. And so she came at the time of harvest. And who would have known? She would certainly not have known that the circumstances she was in, which were dire and dark, would turn out to be so amazing and glorious. God knew, she didn't. And he has prepared in advance for 2020 and the decade that's ahead of us, good works for you to do. And you don't know what they are yet. But the adventure is you're going to find them. You're going to find opportunity to be a friend in the way that Ruth was a friend to other people. And I want to just draw our attention for a moment to another character who's called Barnabas. And he's in the New Testament. And he was such a character that he was called a son of encouragement. So if I could have my... Oh, there he is. And we've been talking about the river. We've been talking about Ezekiel 47, the moving of God's Holy Spirit. And what I normally tell people, which I will say now, is that the river of God's activity, the flow of his kindness, became a person. That kindness walked amongst us. The kindness of the Lord leads to repentance, we're told in Romans. And kindness became a person who would go to someone and say, "Your sins are forgiven. I don't condemn you. I touch you in your leprosy and you are healed. I open your eyes." And so when the disciples of John came and said, "Are you the one or should we look for another?" Jesus said, quoted Isaiah, and he said, "Go and tell John what you've seen. The lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, and good news is preached to the poor." Where's good news preached? To the poor. That's the only place it's preached. Well, it's preached to the really poor who have material possessions. The really, really poor. Naked, blind, poor. That's the qualifications for the kingdom. I have nothing, I see nothing, I can do nothing. So I must have you. And, you know, the moment that we... begin to feel that there was some merit in us as to why we were saved. Well, you know, I'm a decent chap, so, you know, obviously God's going to pick someone like me. I've got promise. Okay, as soon as we move into that place, we are moving away from the gospel. We must be the company of the least, the last, and the lost. That's who we are. And as the hymn says, "When I survey the wondrous cross, my richest gain I count but loss. I pour contempt on all my pride." We are those people, the community of the cross, where Jesus himself hung naked, beaten, and portrayed as shamed. And yet from that place he ruled. From that place he was Lord. And from that place of weakness, we also find our authority and our calling and our identity. If it's anywhere else in your life, be careful of the ground upon which you stand. If your confidence is in any way in the flesh, any way in your ability, any way in your bank balance or your house or your family or your qualifications, if your confidence is in any of those things, be careful. lest you fall. We put our confidence in Jesus today. That's all we have. That's all we want to have. And that's all we can offer to the world, is confidence in Christ. That we found bread. We found the one who is the Messiah. Come and see. So there's an important thing I want to tell you today. Whatever you do, do not invite anyone to church. Don't do it. Don't. Next week, don't invite people to church. Matt, stop inviting people to church. Bring them. Just let that soak in. Bring them. I have a car. Get in my car. Put a bag over their head. Grab them. Throw them. Throw them in the boot if you have to. Andrew said, come with me. Come with me. Take them by the hand. Come with me. I'll buy you lunch. What a return on your investment of a Sunday carvery. That they would sit at the table in heaven forever and say, I'm here because you invited me. You took me by the hand and you led me to the waters of life. And I saw enough of him in you to know that there was something real about it. 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared. Set apart Christ as Lord in your heart. That's the first thing we do. And then always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. And speak circumspectly, not foolishly. And so the first thing we do is we live the Christian life, the Ruth life, the all-in life. We live that life, and people, as the old revivalist said, get on fire and men will come and watch you burn. Get on fire for God. Let the levels carry you. Ask for the increase. Lord, I need more. I'm humble. I know I haven't got enough right now. I need more. Because we aren't there yet. Get on fire for God and people will come. And they will know that you have set Christ apart in your heart. And as you begin to do that, the questions will come. Why? Your life doesn't make sense. This was the comment I made yesterday. That and if you listen to anyone, get the Pete Gregg app on prayer. Anyone got that? It's called Lekio 365. Pete Gregg, the house 24/7 prayer guy. Great app. There's some really great apps for your phone now to help you in your devotional life, and that's one of them. And he said yesterday, live a life that doesn't make sense unless you have Christ. Then it makes total sense. Why would you live the way you live? Because I've set apart Christ as Lord in my heart. Is there a difference? Can your life be seen as distinctive? Questions and challenges. Is the life you have distinctive from the life the world has? Are you a boat in the ocean, or is the ocean in the boat? Good church question, isn't it? The problem when the ocean's in the boat. Problem when the world is in the church. No problem the church being in the world. That's where we need to be. And so, there's a challenge to live a set-apart life. Set apart Christ as Lord in your heart, and always be prepared to give a hope that lies within you. And so we are called to be those people who go and bring, go and bring, go and bring. Bring to the cross. Bring to the story of Jesus Christ. Bring to your testimony those people. Bring them to coffee. Bring them into the encounter that you have had. We heard encounter, encounter, encounter. Dates, times, places. Moments where Jesus was encountered and you literally were raised from the dead. Your dead soul was quickened. The resurrection happened in you. The regeneration and new birth happened. And you know the day that happened. You can point to a day when that happened. And if you've not yet in your emotional, mental calendar, God, a day when you can say, that was the day. If you have not got that day, let it be today. Let it be this day. Let this time go down in salvation history as your day. This was the day you came to Christ. Today, I said to him, I'm all in. I need a savior because I'm poor and naked and blind. Please come into my life. Forgive my sins. Set me free. Normally it's 10 quid in my church. Just saying. I quickly felt for my phone because what then used to happen was the kids would ring my phone to see if it was on silent. So here's the life of the church exploding with the Holy Spirit. The level's going up. The ark is moving. All manner of weird people are starting to join the church. All manner of different animals of all different kinds. And we get to the prelude to that really breaking out when Peter has a dream. And in his dream, every kind of unclean creature is seen on a blanket going up and down and up and down into heaven. And he's going, no, 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 they're untouchable. And the voice of the Lord says to him, do not call untouchable what I have called clean. Okay, so where are the untouchables in, I'm going to say it, I need some help here, help me. Truro.
Where are we? Truro.
Truro. Truro. No? Yes? Truro. It's like the Cornish hurrah, you know. Truro. So, where are the untouchables where the blanket's going up and down and society is saying, not them, it can't be them, we don't want them. Go to them. Start there. You know, revival is trickle up. It starts at the bottom and flows up. Start there. And Barnabas is called a son of encouragement for a particular reason. In that early part of the outpouring of the Spirit upon all flesh, everyone say all flesh. All flesh. Okay. So if you're a believer, wave pinkies at me if you're a believer. Okay. Nobody gets left out. The Spirit of God is poured out upon you. So access your inheritance. Access what's been given to you. Start to use the gift. Start to use the strength and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that has come to you through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Start to minister out of that grace that's exceedingly more than you have to raise the dead. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you. So access what's yours. And get good. Mastery is a good word. And people want instant, don't they, these days? Well, I'm going to buy that. I'd like to learn to paint, but I'm going to buy a painting. Whatever it is. Whereas, what we're called to as disciples of Jesus is mastery. To grow in our understanding and our sensitivity to the Spirit of God, to grow in our understanding and sensitivity to the Word of God, that the Word becomes flesh in us. We are the incarnation now. In the same way, didn't say we're the atonement, just need to put that one out there. We become where the Word now dwells as flesh. We become walking, living epistles of the Word of life. We get to offer that to people. Does that make sense? Okay. And Barnabas was one of those, and he was called a son of encouragement because the Spirit of God flowed through him easily. So if you come into contact with God, the true and living God, in this life, whilst you have a pulse, it should be an encouraging encounter. Even if God says to you, turn from your sins, repent and believe, that's an encouragement. Because he's shown you a way out. He's shown you, over there, look, green light. Okay? Even if he says, this place where you are, it will be destroyed and raised to the ground. Well, here's an exit. That's an encouragement. And so this son of encouragement begins to speak into the lives of all kinds of people. He is a conduit of the Holy Spirit. We talked about the river of God, where the river flows, everything lives. Well, the river's flowing through us now. So there should be life. There should be healing and fruitfulness. The fruit of the Spirit should be evident in the life of the church. We named a few, but it should be evident. People, and I think this is the difference between a live and a dead church. That my mum used to have, has anyone got an ornaments cabinet? Okay, my mum used to have one, glass cabinet, and she would put her favourite ornaments in the cabinet, and I wasn't allowed to touch them. I don't understand why not. But I wasn't allowed to go near the cabinet. Well, guess what? The church is not an ornament cabinet in which, well, ladies and gentlemen, we'd just like to show you, this is called the fruit of love. And this one here, this beautiful, put the white glove on to hold it. This one is called joy. Okay, none of you've got it, but you can come to the cabinet and I will pull it out and show it you. Okay, is that what the fruit of the Spirit is for? Or is it that the little kids in the street can come past and scrump joy from your life? Which one? They should be able to stand on the wall and nick the fruit from you. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, kindness, self-control. They should be able to taste and see from my life that the Lord is good. Because I have embodied his word. So the word is becoming flesh in us. And we need each other to help cultivate that environment. And to cultivate the joy life, the love, the peace. To help each other into that place. Because that's God's intention. And Barnabas flowed with the river coming out and through him into other people's life. What does that look like? Well, firstly, these things will help you as you relate to the least, the last, and the lost. Encouragers don't limit people. The example being that Saul of Tarsus has his encounter on the road to Damascus, and we are told that he got saved. We are told that he was made blind. We are told that a man called Ananias came to him, not wanting to, and as such, he was a feared man, a persecutor of the church. And so Ananias said, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles, their kings, and before the people of Israel. I'll show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house, entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, brother Saul, I'm a really good guy, and I got my O-levels, because I'm old, and GCSEs for the young people, and I got my good A-levels. I went to a great college. I've had a super job and a wonderful life. And because of all that, God's moving through me. So there you go. Have some healing. Is that how it works? It's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace and only the grace that flowed through Ananias. So anyone still not yet poor, naked and blind in the room? Historically, that is. We have to depend on the Holy Spirit. To see the things that only he can do. And Ananias, I mean, I'm shocked how accurate the word of the Lord was to him. He didn't know Saul had got saved. He'd only heard that he was persecuting the church. But God was speaking to him so clearly. Number one, he got told Saul's been saved. Number two, he was told where he was. Number three, he was told to go to him. And number four, he was told to heal him. Can we have that back in the church, please? Anyone would like to see that level of anointing in the church? Wave a pinky at me if that's you. Okay, well, let's start by being dependent on God. But the Lord said, go to him. Then Ananias went to the house, entered it, placing his hands on him. He said, brother Saul, that's grace right there, isn't it? And saying, brother, God heals you. So he gets saved, gloriously, profoundly saved on the road to Damascus, confirmed in his calling by a single, up until this point, unknown Christian man who hears God, obeys God, and releases God into the life of this very unlikely character. It takes a Barnabas to know the moment that you are in. Don't live in yesterday's moment. Well, we know that guy. He's a problem and he's always a problem. Don't see what was yesterday's story. See what God is doing now. And this man, Barnabas, saw in Saul of Tarsus what God was doing. And so we read in the story that he came to Saul and he took him under his wing. He took him into his ministry, basically. And so Saul of Tarsus, who was a persecutor of the church, became Paul the Apostle. And people started to say of him and were astonished, isn't he the man who caused havoc in Jerusalem amongst those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them all prisoner? So what's going on? And we read further on, verse 26 of Acts chapter 9. Acts 9. I will be skipping around. Apologies, you can have the notes. That when Saul came to Jerusalem to join the disciples, they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. Verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. And so Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly. So even the early apostles in Jerusalem said, we're not letting that guy in, because we know who he is. And yet, Barnabas, a conduit of the Holy Spirit, listened to God, listened to the testimony, and said, this is a new day. And so, they risk endorsing what they've seen rather than what they've heard. So, to see God moving in someone's life means you have to be near them. Okay, so that's outside. That's not in church. It's beginning to have a perception of your environment as a conduit of the Holy Spirit that will sit in a coffee bar and say, God, what are you doing in this room? Okay, you may be like me. When I go to Costa, when I go to Mega Books, Costa Fortune, or Dero's, I tend to look for the quiet, comfortable seating at the edge. Is anyone else? Do I get a witness to that? Okay. I am learning to not do that, but to sit in the middle of the room, in the busy part. And I'm saying, God, I'm drinking my coffee, but I am available. I'm online and available to you. What do you want to do in this room? Who's here that you want to talk to? And I'm making myself available in the middle of the community that doesn't know Christ and saying, you're here, I'm here, they're here, is there anything you'd like to do? I want to encourage you to do that. And so, firstly, they don't limit people. Secondly, they lift people to a higher level. And so what Barnabas did is he took this dodgy character called Saul and he raised him up to the next level. And he took him out with him on missions trips. And we're told in Acts chapter 11, which I think might be up there. Yep. Those who had been scattered by persecution, by the way, that's what Saul was up to, in connection with Stephen, by the way, Saul was there when he was killed, moved as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, telling the message only to the Jews. Then some, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks, telling them also the good news about the Lord Jesus. So Antioch is the place where missionaries started to take the message outside of the church. And my question to you is, do you want to be a missionary church? Do you want to take the message beyond where you are now? Because that will mean the animals are coming. Different to you will be in the room. And you'll have to translate what you carry into their language and their culture. And you'll have to put up with what Jesus said, eat whatever is set before you. Go into their house, bless them, eat what's set before you. Don't criticize, don't judge. Start where they are and work out from there. Heal the sick, cast out demons, and then tell them the kingdom of God has drawn near. And so Barnabas begins to go to this revival that's breaking out in Antioch. And news reached the disciples, and so he's on his way. And when he arrived, he saw evidence of the grace of God. He was glad. He encouraged them. He was a man full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith, and a great number of people were led to the Lord. Then Barnabas had an idea. Let's go and get that troublemaker, Saul of Tarsus, and bring him here. He'll do great in this environment. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Little Jesuses. Little anointed ones. So when we're moving in the Spirit of God, we don't limit people who stand in front of us. We lift them up to the higher level. You empower people for nature, not for gain. Okay, what this means is, they're not all going to come to your church. But I thought we were leading them to church. No, we're leading them to Christ. But I thought they'd come and help do coffee. Maybe they will. And it could be that what God does is an Antioch church in a coffee bar. An Antioch church in a soup kitchen. An Antioch church in a mother's playgroup. And it's not you. And so if our purpose is simply to put bums on chairs, that's not quite the gospel. The gospel is they come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and they get on a discipling journey. And I think what we're going to start to see is what Barnabas saw, which is, well, this doesn't look like Jerusalem, but it's certainly God. This is Jerusalem for you. This is it. This is your center. And out there, it may look very different. And is your heart ready for that? Is your heart open enough to see God doing new things? What we have to do is create an environment in which the Holy Spirit can move. He's the raiser of the dead. He's the one who can reach a Saul of Tarsus, who nobody else would even dream could come to Christ. The very enemy of Christ gets saved. Okay, he can do that. So let's create space for him to move. And let's go and find him in the community. And when we find him, let's encourage and talk up what God is doing in the life of that person. And I think that this is where we all get to operate in the gift of prophecy. Prophecy is this. Brother, I see God on you. I see what he's going to do in your life. I see that you have a heart for worship. And I see that he's going to put increase on that. See, that's encouraging, isn't it, to hear a good word from the Lord and to go into the community and say to someone, you know, you're really good at this. You're really good at showing compassion to other people. We wouldn't say you've got a great pastoral gift. But we start to see what God is doing in the life of that person and we call it out. We speak hope into others because we are recipients of hope. We are recipients of love. We are recipients of mercy. Freely you have received, freely give. And so we create an environment for healing, a clean atmosphere that ministers in appropriate ways to the people that we are ministering to. That doesn't say, okay, you, if you're going to get saved, you need to buy into my culture. We don't have to do that. What we have to do is lead them to a relationship with Christ. And what Barnabas saw and did came out of the Holy Spirit in him. And I believe that God wants to raise up in you exactly the same spirit. Hope speaking people. Let it be that people know you for your words, for your actions. And that God is with you in signs, wonders, and miracles. Someone say amen. Shall we stand together? Dad, we just thank you for such great examples of what being a Christian should look like. Help us to find the story of this quiet man who was happy to take a back seat and raise others up. Who was happy to go from being Barnabas with the apostles to one of Paul's companions, not even named. Father, may we go lower still. May we become more dependent upon you. And as we go lower, Lord, and as we take on the very nature of a servant, even as Christ did, and our attitude becomes like his, and our mindset becomes like Christ's, Father, seat us with him in heavenly places. Let love issue itself in humility. Let humility be the place where the anointing rests from the Holy Spirit. And where there is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, let there be authority to bind and to loose and to release life. And may there be a great harvest in and through this family. Father, thank you. Their lamp is on its stand. Thank you, there's oil in that lamp. Thank you, it's lit. Thank you, they have a heart after yours. Fill them now, I pray. Refire them. Commission them to co-mission with you. We need each other, Lord. Fill them, we pray. Amen.